Hello, this is Nicolene Ambrose with the Tri-County Journal for Wednesday, January 20. First article, IHSA athletics remain on pause. Board will meet again January 27. The Illinois High School Association, IHSA, Board of Directors met for its regularly scheduled meeting on Wednesday, January 13th. Where the board announced that all IHSA sports not operating under an official IHSA season calendar may begin to conduct contact days as soon as they are allowable per Illinois Department of Public Health, IDPH, mitigations, and local school guidance. Contact days normally exist within the IHSA as informal voluntary off-season workouts. The IHSA acknowledges the immense mental, emotional, and physical strain that a lack of contact with school programs is causing Illinois high school student athletes, said IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson. It is our intention that these contact days provide sports-specific training under the leadership of high school coaches. This is an effort to provide a viable sports option to high school athletes given the growing number of student athletes opting for higher risk opportunities within the state and across state lines. Additionally, the board reviewed several options outlining a sports schedule framework for the remainder of the school year. The board directed the IHSA staff to take feedback from today's meeting, as well as any insight gained in the coming weeks, and bring forward viable scheduling options for a special board meeting on January 27th. The board will provide an update following that meeting. Once state leadership allows for low-risk winter sports, boys and girls bowling, cheerleading, dance, girls gymnastics, boys swimming and diving, to begin participation, those teams will be allowed to begin practice immediately and then continue their season through the season calendar established by the board later this month. The IHSA Board of Directors released a joint statement following the meeting. We realize that there is a desire for finality on a sports schedule for 2020-21. However, we did not believe it would be prudent to lock ourselves into a schedule at a time when IHSA schools are unable to conduct any sport. Per Governor Pritzker, we have hope that low-risk sports may be permitted in certain regions of the state as early as this Friday, January 15th. With that in mind, February seems like a realistic timeline to have sports resume statewide. We expect that the events of the next 2 weeks will go a long way toward informing our opinion on which scheduling option we decide to proceed with. We recognize that if no sports have resumed by February, the season lengths could be impacted in certain sports, and that we may need to take a longer look at the likelihood of true seasons being conducted in high-risk sports this year. Our overall goal remains unchanged, as we hope to conduct all IHSA sports during the remainder of the school year calendar. Please know that we see and read many of the comments and messages from student athletes, coaches, and parents, and that we are doing everything we can to try and bring IHSA sports back within the current parameters we are working in. The IHSA successfully conducted seasons in golf, girls tennis, cross country, and girls swimming and diving through the sectional competition this fall, but all IHSA sports have been paused since November 20th. We remain collaborative in our efforts with IDPH and the governor's office, said Anderson. We are trying to do our part to fight the pandemic while simultaneously seeking safe participation opportunities for our student athletes. We understand the real mental toll this pause in athletics is having on Illinois high school student athletes. We believe that school-based athletic participation is better regulated, making it the safest participation option for our students, and more data continues to emerge supporting that stance. We will continue to share that information with state leadership in hopes that we can work together to provide participation opportunities for young people. Editor's note, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker announced on January 15th that the three regions in the state, 1, 2, and 5, are being rolled back from Tier 3 mitigations to Tier 2 mitigations. On January 16th, Region 5 moved to Tier 1 mitigations. The announcement allows further participation opportunities for IHSA schools located in regions that are under Tier 2 mitigations and Tier 1 mitigation. Next article. United Association Local 149 supports local charities during holidays. Donations made to four local nonprofit groups as chosen by members. A recent social media competition resulted in four local charities receiving donations in the names of four members of United Association Local 149. The Boy Scouts of America, Prairielands Council, Rattle the Stars, American Cancer Society, and Prairie Rivers Network benefited from the contest sponsored by Local 149. For all of December, the union encouraged members to engage with their posts for a chance to win union merchandise every week. The union also announced that each weekly winner would have the chance to choose a local charity to receive a $100 donation in their name. The winners are Eric Bieleski, a union technician at Davis Hoke Mechanical, selected the Boy Scouts to receive his contribution after he grew up as a member of the Prairielands Council, and his 15-year-old son is now involved. They do a great job of teaching leadership qualities and good values, he said. Ryan Mett, who works for A&R Mechanical, made his contribution to Rattle the Stars, a Champaign organization focused on mental health services and suicide prevention. I had a close friend who suffered from depression, and shortly after high school, he committed suicide. I wanted to contribute to a group helping people in those situations. Zach Ayers, a first-year apprentice working at the University of Illinois, has had family members who fought cancer, and as a result selected the American Cancer Society to receive his $100 contribution. I thought it was important to do my part and help an organization helping so many others, he said. Dustin Rhodes, who works at the University of Illinois, is an avid outdoorsman and Eagle Scout who has canoed the Middle Fork River several times and supports environmental efforts there by the Prairie Rivers Network. There are endangered species living there, it's in our backyard, and the coal ash leaching into the riverbanks isn't helping. I wanted to help the people responsible for trying to clean it up. Everyone should be able to enjoy it. Local 149 represents more than 600 East Central Illinois residents in Ford, Champaign, Coles, Cumberland, Effingham, Jasper, and Piatt counties. Members work for more than 40 local companies providing plumbing, heating, air conditioning, refrigeration, steam, industrial process, boiler, and medical gas piping services. Next article. Emmanuel Chris Welch makes history as first Black Illinois House Speaker. By Peter Hancock, Capital News. Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch made history Wednesday by becoming the first Black person elected Speaker of the Illinois House, succeeding Representative Michael Madigan, who leaves the job after serving for 36 of the past 38 years. The House came into session Wednesday afternoon to begin the 102nd General Assembly just moments after it adjourned a rare lame duck session that ended the 101st biennial session. Speaking on the floor of the Bank of Springfield Center, where the House has been meeting to allow for social distancing due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Hillside Democrat issued a call for unity, vowing that he would no longer refer to other House members as Democrats or Republicans. Today will be the last time I talk about us as Democrats or Republicans because I want to talk about us being united, Welch said in his inaugural speech. We're going to work together to move this state forward. Welch was elected Speaker by a vote of 70-44 over House Minority Leader Jim Durkin, Republican, Western Springs. And while Durkin opened his remarks by saying he was extending an olive branch of cooperation starting today, he then launched a verbal polemic against Madigan, who was leaving the Speaker's office amid a cloud of corruption allegations. While his reign as Speaker is all but over, his decades in power will never be erased, Durkin said. What we have here through this unique and rare opportunity is the ability to break from the past, to break from that business model, because they are as apparent as the masks on our face. Last summer, Durkin initiated the petition that forced the House to form a special investigating committee to probe Madigan's role in a bribery scheme involving utility giant Commonwealth Edison and determine whether disciplinary actions should come. But it was Welch who chaired that committee and made sure it did not recommend disciplinary action. Madigan, who on Monday announced he was suspending his bid to remain Speaker, issued a statement Wednesday congratulating Welch as Speaker-elect minutes before lawmakers were set to make the vote official. As I prepare to pass the Speaker's gavel to a new generation of Democratic leadership, I want to thank the people of my district and the members of the House Democratic Caucus for the faith and trust they have placed in me over the years, Madigan said in the statement. I want to thank my staff for their hard work on behalf of every member of this caucus. It has been the honor of a lifetime to help bring people of different experiences and backgrounds together to serve our state. It is time for new leadership in the House. I wish all the best for Speaker-elect Welch as he begins a historic speakership. It is my sincere hope today that the caucus I leave to him and to all who will serve alongside him is stronger than when I began. And as I look at the large and diverse Democratic majority we have built, full of young leaders ready to continue moving our state forward, strong women and people of color, and members representing all parts of our state, I am confident Illinois remains in good hands. Next article, Bailey sworn in as state senator, excited to begin 102nd General Assembly. On the first day of the Illinois General Assembly, State Senator Darren Bailey, R. Louisville, has taken the oath of office and is beginning his first term in the Senate. I'm excited to get to work with my new colleagues in the upper chamber and to finally get back to work for the people, said Bailey. My goals as legislator remain the same, to fight for limited but effective government, to protect the freedoms we hold dear, and to stand up against corruption. Bailey, a farmer and lifelong resident of Clay County, was elected to the Illinois Senate in November. He has been married for 34 years and has 4 children and 10 grandchildren. Previously, he served in the Illinois House as the 109th District Representative since 2019. His current term in the Senate runs through 2022. Bailey's time in the House was highlighted by his fight for limited government and personal freedom, particularly as an advocate for businesses and workers hurt by government-ordered closures. Senator Bailey will continue to operate his district office at 152 South Church Street in Louisville and will also take over former Senator Dale Ryder's district office at 88 Broadway Ave, Suite 1 in Mattoon. His website is available at senddarrenbailey.com. Next article, LLC to host Nursing Virtual Information Week. Lakeland College will host a Nursing Virtual Information Week, January 25th through January 28th. Attendees will learn why Lakeland's nursing programs are ranked third in the state, as well as the various options for a nursing career. The informational sessions are customized to meet the interest of those considering a career in healthcare to those who have been working in the nursing field for years and would like to advance their careers. The first session gives associate degree nursing students and associate degree nurses the opportunity to hear from nursing faculty members on options for completing a Bachelor of Science Nursing through completion and dual enrollment programs. The ADN to BSN session will take place at 6 p.m. January 25th. By attending the second session, current licensed practical nurses, LPN, can hear from nursing faculty members on the admissions process for the Associate Degree Nurse Program. This PN to ADN admissions process session will be at 6 p.m., January 26. Those who attend the third event will hear from nursing faculty members on the admissions process and learn why Nursing Explorer ranked Lakeland College's nursing programs third in the state. This event is intended for prospective students. The event will take place at 6 p.m., January 27th. The final session will be a chance for high school students who have applied through the Partnership for College and Career Success program to hear from Lakeland College nursing faculty members on the admissions process for the Associate Degree Nurse Program. Students eligible for the program have received invitation letters for the event and are encouraged to attend. This event will be at 6 p.m., January 28th. To register for one of the sessions, visit the website lakelandcollege.edu/visit. Next, the obituaries. Jenny L. Barnes. Jenny L. Barnes, 95, of Tuscola, passed away at 1 a.m. on January 1st at the Tuscola Healthcare Center in Tuscola, Illinois. A graveside service was held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, January 9th at the Oak Ridge Cemetery in Camargo with Pastor Jerry Connor officiating. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to an origination of the donor's choice. Tina M. Hubbard. Tina Marie Hubbard, 55, of Villa Grove, passed away at 6:15 a.m. on Tuesday, January 5th at Carl Foundation Hospital. A graveside service was held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, January 9th at the Centennial Cemetery in Villa Grove. Pastor Mike Zylstra officiated. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Villa Grove Booster Club. Reverend Jesse M. Adams. Reverend Jesse M. Adams, 90, of Arcola, passed away at 11:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 5th at his residence. Funeral service was held at 1 p.m. on Sunday, January 10th at Penn Station, 122 East Progress Street in Arthur. Reverend Randy Walters officiated. Burial with military rites conducted by the Arcola Honor Guard was in the Oak Grove Cemetery in rural Oakland. Visitation was held 2 hours prior from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Penn Station. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Memorials may be made to the Arcola VFW Post 7862 or to Lincoln Land Hospice. Fred Harvey. Fred Harvey, 88, of Arcola, passed away at 9:25 p.m. on Saturday, January 2nd at his residence. Private funeral services were held on Thursday, January 7th at the Edwards Funeral Home. Reverend Paul Frose officiated. Military rites were conducted by the Arcola Honor Guard at the funeral home. Burial was in the Arcola Cemetery at a later date. Friends could pay their respects to Fred and sign the register book between the hours of 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. on Thursday, January 7th. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Michael G. Harvey Fund in care of the Arcola Foundation or the Arcola Lions Club. Barbara E. Lohr. Barbara E. Lohr, 78, of Tuscola, passed away at 5:28 p.m. on Thursday, January 7th at her residence, 5 days after the death of her husband, David Lohr, both from complications of COVID-19. Visitation was held for Barb and Dave from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday, January 8th at the funeral home. A combined private family service was held on Saturday, January 9th at the Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home, and burial followed at the Tuscola Township Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to the Aikman Wildlife Adventure in Arthur. Gary A. Ray. Gary Allen Ray, 71, of Effingham, passed away on Saturday, January 2nd at HSHS St. Anthony's Memorial Hospital in Effingham. Private family funeral services were held at Johnson Funeral Home in Effingham. The funeral service was streamed on Facebook. Burial was in Stewardson Cemetery in Stewardson. John Jordan. John Jordan, 46, of Mattoon, passed away at 1 a.m. on January 2nd at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon. Visitation was held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, January 9th at the Mount Zion General Baptist Church at 654 County Road 1320 North in Sullivan. Funeral services were held at 1 p.m. following the visitation. Jerry Harmonson officiated. Burial followed in the Mount Zion Church Cemetery. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Next article. Applicants sought for Joe and Sue Somerville Agricultural Scholarship. Applications are now being accepted for the 2021 Joe and Sue Somerville Agricultural Scholarship. Wishing to preserve and grow the agricultural community, the Somerville Agricultural Scholarship will help a student pursue their education in an agricultural-related field of study. Having grown up on a family farm, Sue is offering this scholarship in memory of her mother and father, Lois and Myron Riddle of Tuscola. The deadline for application is Friday, February 19th. To be considered for the 2021 Joe and Sue Somerville $1,500 Agricultural Scholarship, successful applicants must meet the following requirements. They reside in Douglas County, Illinois, and are a graduating senior from high school. They must include a copy of high school transcripts. Plan on attending a 2 or 4 year college, university, or trade school full-time, majoring in agriculture or an agricultural-related field of study. They must successfully meet and be accepted to their college or trade school choice. Please include a copy of letter of acceptance. Write a short one-page essay, single-spaced, indicating their interest in agriculture, why they would be deserving of the scholarship, and demonstrate need, if applicable. The successful applicant will be awarded $1,500 in 2 installments upon proof of registration to their institution. Installment will be mailed directly to the applicant's institution he or she is attending. Applications should be submitted to the Douglas County Farm Bureau Office, 105 North Main Street, Tuscola, 61953, no later than February 19th. For more information about the Joe and Sue Somerville Agricultural Scholarship, contact Tyler Harvey at 217-253-4442 or at douglasmgr@douglascfb.com. Next article. Lakeland College BOT approves ERCA intergovernmental agreement. At the January Lakeland College board meeting, trustees approved an intergovernmental agreement with 14 area school districts to formalize the role of the Effingham Regional Career Academy, ERCA, in providing specialized career and technical educational programs for students residing within the member districts. The intergovernmental agreement demonstrates the commitment of all involved to propel the Effingham Regional Career Academy forward and outlines the roles and responsibilities involved in delivering the programs. Lakeland College will administer career and technical education programs that allow students at the member districts to earn high school and college credit simultaneously. As part of Lakeland's commitment to the agreement, the director of the Effingham Education Center will serve as the vocational/technical director of the ERCA program. In addition, the agreement outlines usage of facilities, indicating Lakeland's plans to construct a new facility near the Kluth Center for Higher Education and Technology in Effingham that will provide training opportunities for incumbent and adult learners to advance their skills, as well as expose high school students to high-demand careers. The college is working with area partners to submit an application for a $7.5 million grant from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity to fund Phase 1 of the construction project. The Lakeland College Board of Trustees, faculty, and staff look forward to working with our educational and community partners to provide new pathways for high school students, incumbent workers, and area residents through the Regional Career Academy, Lakeland College President Josh Bullock said. We are proud to take the lead in developing an educational training program that will benefit area businesses and communities by creating a highly skilled workforce through the expansion of career and technical skills training. The area districts involved in the ERCA intergovernmental agreement are Altamont High School District 10, Beecher City High School District 20, Dietrich High School District 30, Effingham High School District 40, Tutopolis High School District 50, St. Anthony High School District, Stewartson-Strasburg High School District 5A, Neoga High School District 3, Cumberland High School District 77, Louisville North Clay High School District 25, Jasper County High School District 1, Cowden-Herrick High School District 3A, Brownstown High School District 201, and St. Elmo High School District 202. This intergovernmental agreement is just one component of the Effingham Regional Career Academy. The ERCA's mission is to attract, retain, and grow area businesses by providing sustainable pathways to high-skill, high-demand careers for high school students, adult learners, and incumbent workers. Regional data found in Lakelands College Data for Decision Makers study indicates a need for advanced training among residents of the area. The study examined the educational attainment of the residents of the region by school district and found 60 to 80% of the residents in this area did not have a college degree. By creating targeted educational opportunities and a pipeline of skilled individuals for area employers, the ERCA will positively impact future access to a skilled workforce and the region's agility in adapting to forthcoming industry trends. In 2018, the state of Illinois recognized the ERCA as one of the top 20 examples of local government groups sharing resources and expenses. The 14 school districts and Lakeland College are joined in the ERCA by the Effingham County Chamber of Commerce, the City of Effingham, the Effingham Regional Growth Alliance, and numerous area community and business leaders. For more information about the ERCA or to find out how to get involved, visit the website www.effinghamregionalcareeracademy.com. Last article, Farm Bureau Foundation scholarships available. The Douglas County Farm Bureau Foundation is a private foundation dedicated to the youth of Douglas County. Up to $3,000 in scholarships are available to assist students pursuing a degree in agriculture. Interested students may apply each year for consideration. Applications are now being accepted at the Douglas County Farm Bureau for consideration and are due by Friday, February 19, 2021. Applications are available at the Douglas County Farm Bureau office or on their website, www.douglascfb.com. That's it for this week's Tri-County Journal. I've enjoyed reading with you and look forward to reading with you again soon. Stay safe and stay well.